This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Lynn Hale. How are you, Lynn?
I'm feeling much, much better than I was 3 weeks ago. Thank you, Chris.
Okay. What we're going to talk about today is your experience as a COVID person who's had COVID and the effects it's done to your palate, a person who's studied wine at the WSET Level 2 level and thinking about the Level 3, and also because I think you give a nice perspective because you're a retired GP.
That sounds absolutely fine.
Lovely. So let's start off with a little bit of we'll start with your wine background, because that was, you did a little bit of wine, then you got COVID, and now you're thinking about more wine. So just start off with, you've done the WSET Level 2. When was that?
I did the course in November, principally because my son, who delivers wine as a job at the moment, felt that he wanted to do something extra in his life. And he said to me that maybe doing some form of wine appreciation would be a good thing for him. And so I was up for learning something new. And so I said, well, why don't we just do it together? It'll be something nice to do together. And I haven't tasted wine using a formal educational framework. I'd thought to myself during the year, during lockdown, that one needed to be mindful about one's life, because one's life is it's got much, much smaller, really, for all of us. And so actually being able to take pleasure or understand little things makes life more vibrant somehow. So doing the wine course for me, because I learn in a certain way, I knew that I would get a lot of pleasure out of it. I had only really appreciated wine through my husband, who has an interest and is also a very good cook. I hadn't really thought about why I actually liked a glass of wine with certain foods. So the WSET Level 2 struck me as being a really good place to start. And it certainly delivered in bucket loads.
Cool.
I can't tell you what pleasure it gave me to have a formal framework onto which to hang this thing called taste.
We'll get onto that as well when we get onto your COVID experience. You did the course with us. You did it with Abby, I think. Is that right?
I did. She was lovely.
Yeah, she's.
And it was fun. It was fun, and it wasn't intense, but it was dense. Mm. And doing it with Tom was great as well, because we were able to chat through our joint experience, and learning something with someone else is great. So it was less learning with the group, even though it was online, it didn't feel too distant.
We've actually had a couple of families or friends getting together and doing these courses together, because it gives them something to talk about outside of class as well.
Absolutely. And actually, if you have a framework, rather than just say, oh, I like that, it's nice, you can actually discuss in a much broader way.
Especially when you've got the same vocab. You know, if you're using the same vocab, the discussion can be more meaningful with less words almost.
I think that's true. But also, you know why you like something. You can actually describe what it is about something that appeals to you. So I have always liked a margarita cocktail. I never knew why I liked a margarita cocktail until I did WSET Level 2.
And what is it? Is it salt and umami playing off together, or?
It's just the whole thing. I don't like tequila as a taste. I find it sour and bitter.
Mm.
Lime is fine, but I wouldn't want to drink neat lime juice. Salt on its own, I don't particularly like the taste of salt on its own. And okay, I quite like a bit of Cointreau, but it's a bit thick and syrupy. But you put it all together and it's fantastic. You get the salt around the rim, offsetting the bitterness of the tequila, and having done WSET for wine, I understood why that cocktail was such a treat for me.
So you did the course in November, all looked pretty good. What did you get in the exam?
I got 94.
94%.
Yes.
So distinction, so that's a pretty good mark.
It is. But actually, to be quite honest with you, if I'd have got 54, I'd have been just as happy.
Okay, so it all went a bit pear-shaped after that. What happened over Christmas?
Well, Christmas was great. We enjoyed Christmas. I ate too much. We had some beautiful wines at home. It was a treat. And then the new year came, and on the 10th of January, I suddenly felt very tired. And by the 11th of January, I could smell coffee with burnt rubber in my nose, and I couldn't get out of bed, and I had a headache. Mm. And I made the decision that I probably had COVID, felt a bit miffed because I'd worked so hard to try and avoid it for a year. But I have a husband working in a hospital, so it may have come back from there. Who knows? But we had a little family epidemic, and a great friend of mine and her daughter also independently also had COVID at the same time. Oh. So there were five of us having a little pandemic.
Misery enjoys company.
Yes.
So as someone who's just finished some training on your palate, so your palate, you know, level two's solid, but, you know, you can get more into your palate than that, but, you know, level twos are solid, you understand what's going on in your palate. How did it affect yourself? You know, people talk about the sense of smell. Was that really affected for you? You said burnt rubber.
Yes. Well, the biggest sense of that I lost to begin was the fact that your wife had sent me an email to say I had a distinction when I couldn't smell properly, and I actually wondered if I would ever smell properly again. However, to begin with, it was a distortion of smell for me. And this odd coffee with a burnt rubber smell was all pervasive.
Sounds like a South African pinotage.
Couldn't possibly comment, although I can't say I enjoy it. I'll never drink it now. I'll think of COVID. So for the first 2 days, it was just a very perverted sense of smell. And actually, it meant even drinking water or anything, just disgusting. And of course, you do need to drink when you're ill. Mm. That was actually a real challenge. I had a basil plant on my windowsill in the kitchen. And I thought, oh, I wonder if I've lost my sense of taste. And I hadn't lost my sense of taste to begin with. I could taste basil as basil, tasted a little bit bitter. And I could still smell the herbs and spices in my cupboard. So to begin with, it was just this overwhelming, extra distorted smell. And I realized that the sense of bitterness was increasing. Well, within 2 or 3 days, my sense of smell had gone completely. I could no longer taste basil as basil. It was just overwhelming bitterness, totally vile, and I couldn't bear to put toothpaste in my mouth. Who knew that toothpaste had such a disgusting back taste, which they cover with mint? Because if you can't taste the mint, what's left? What's revolting.
I find toothpaste and acidic white wines to be a no-no as well. So
children's toothpaste is better than adult toothpaste, I discovered.
Oh, okay. Bubble gum.
Yes.
Okay, so in terms of what happened, you said you lost your sense of smell and then you started getting a lot of bitterness coming through. Did it change other things as well? Or
yes, I was very surprised in that I lost my sense of sweetness. I thought, golly, where has that gone to? Mm. But the great disappointment for me was the fact that I couldn't taste a cup of tea. I like a cup of tea in the morning. It's been one of my things forever. And it just tasted like hot water.
Okay.
So I added sugar lumps just to see if I could, and I made it very, very strong as well, thinking, well, maybe if it's a bit tannic, and if I get a bit of caffeine in it, how will it feel? couldn't taste anything. The sides of my mouth started to stick together. So tannin without the flavour of tea was disgusting.
Yes.
And I added sugar lumps. I got to 6 sugar lumps, couldn't taste it. The mouthfeel was better, the sugar lumps with a lot of tannin, but it wasn't a cup of tea.
So if your sense of taste is wrong and your sense of smell's gone, how did you get any pleasure out of food? Or did you not? It was all McDonald's all the week?
No. I knew I needed to eat because I didn't want to lose my muscle bulk. I knew I needed to get calories into me. Things tasted very, very salty.
Oh, okay.
Which was interesting. But the saltiness, my perception of saltiness didn't offset any bitterness, which is a real disappointment because salt would normally offset bitter tastes.
Yes, yeah, so salt hides bitterness.
And my margarita and the salt around the rim and the tequila and all of that. Mm. So I was very surprised by that. I decided that the concept of body, which I'd learnt in my wine tasting, I thought I've got to get a mouthfeel that feels okay. So texture became important. So crunchy apple and pear, couldn't taste any of it, but that was a useful thing to be able to put in my mouth. Coating my mouth with full fat milk helped, which was rather weird.
Yeah.
And I bought smoothies. I never drink smoothies, but I thought smoothie on top of some dried meat, which tasted really salty, somehow I got a better mouthfeel and I ate that. And so that's what I actually ate for the best part of a week, along with avocados, which are full of fat and but don't really taste very much, I don't think, normally. But so that's how I managed it.
Nice. I remember talking to you earlier and you were saying that some of the skill sets, particularly the food and wine matching type of element from the level two, you found useful?
I did. Part of the abnormality in taste was that I got a very full-on taste of metal in my mouth a little bit later. And I knew patients who had been on chemotherapy who would get this sort of metallic flavour. So I knew from my sort of doctor side that actually cold, icy water helped those patients. So I drank water that was very cold. That helped. And I knew that if you put certain metals in your mouth with a metallic flavour, that would be pretty disgusting. So I used a chrome spoon, which was very inert, and that was good. That worked well. And I do remember as a child being given boiled eggs with spoons where the metal cover had worn away. And the eggs were always a bit disgusting. But if you had a brand new spoon, the eggs would taste okay. So clearly the right sort of dishes helps with flavour. And going back to the sort of the training through with the WSET level two, the idea of an ISO glass, something that's standard, something that you can judge against, is really useful. So I didn't make my life more complex. I put food on white plates and I didn't confuse anything. In order to make things palatable, I felt that I needed to remember what something tasted of and try to hang on to that memory whilst I was eating.
And you said you weren't enjoying the food. Did you find it was more of a chore or was it something that you sort of got into?
I didn't. Had I been left to my own devices, I would have eaten nothing.
In your mouth, you said you lost your sense of smell. You said you've got some metallic tastes. You lost...
No, things tasted more salty. Things were massively bitter. The bitterness has been overwhelming. So I'm still not keen on greens. The adult's toothpaste is still pretty vile. A gin and tonic, which I would normally quite like, tonic is foul. Although last night I put some salt in the tonic and that improved it.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because if you think about what's going on in your mouth, from my point of view anyway as a wine guy, you know, you think about what balances each part out, and you've got, normally I sort of tell people, you know, on one balance equation, you've got acidity and sugar. And people are quite often quite familiar with the idea that sugar hides acidity, acidity hides sugar. You know, if you get something very syrupy, you put some lemon juice in it and it helps cut through the sweetness.
Yes, yes.
So that's one element, but you also get other things. So fruit hides bitterness a little bit as well, and sugar hides bitterness. Now, if you lose your sense of flavor, then that will bring up your bitterness quite a bit.
Yes. So the only thing you can do is to try and reduce things which are bitter when the bitterness profile is so high.
Or, as you tried to do, is you had some salt, because salt stops you tasting bitterness. Even though you had salty flat taste in your mouth, I don't think you actually probably had salt in your mouth, so you weren't getting that salt cancelling out the bitterness. The other thing that you tried, which is quite interesting, is the tea and the sugar, because sugar also masks bitterness. Salt stops you tasting bitterness, but sugar masks bitterness. So when you had your really super bitter tannic tea and you put loads of sugar in that, that's sort of quite an interesting thing, because normally you'd expect the sugar to completely cancel out or mask the bitterness from the tannins from the overstewed tea.
The tannins didn't taste that bitter, even though it was quite strong. But interestingly, that came back as my sense of taste came back. It was really greens that were very, very bitter.
Obviously, you're playing around with your food quite a bit, trying different things with the skills you've already learned about food and wine matching. How has your recovery gone? Because we're recording this in early February, and so you've had it. You're over it by about 3 weeks. So you're looking pretty healthy.
I'm at 3 weeks. I have to say I feel very lucky in that I've made a really good recovery. I wouldn't volunteer for this as an illness. I can honestly say I felt very, very unwell halfway through, and I have to say my oxygen levels and things went down, and I did think at one point maybe a trip to hospital is going to be needed.
How long before you're sort of out of bed, and how long before your palate started to recover?
I would say that my sense of taste came back when my fever finally receded. And I had a temperature for 10 or 11 days. But as my temperature came down, I realised I was able to taste a bit more. And so I went into my spice cupboard and I realised I could smell things which I couldn't smell previously. At the end of last week, I wasn't quite sure what was normal and what wasn't. As my sense of smell came back, I got some perverted smell in my nose again, in the things I could smell Caramac. Remember those chocolate bars?
Oh, okay.
They're caramel flavoured. You're too young, probably, Chris. But I have a childhood memory of a caramel chocolate-ish bar, which had a very strong particular flavour. Well, I had that in my nose as my sense of smell returned. But that wasn't horrid, because I liked caramel. In fact, it was like tertiary notes in a good bottle of wine, you could almost argue.
How's your palate now, 3 weeks later?
I think I've been lucky. I think I'm more or less back, bar being a bit sensitive to bitter flavours, but really nothing to complain about. There are people, of course, who lose their sense of smell for a very protracted period. And for anybody who's reliant on their palate for their work, it could be absolutely catastrophic.
Yeah, I've got guys who are getting ready to set a tasting exam, and we're all paranoid that one of them gets COVID, because that'll just be them done for a couple of months probably if they're going to try and pass a tasting exam and need to be calibrated.
I do think my palate is back. I didn't know until this weekend whether my palate was back, but it is, and one of the bottles of wine that was opened this weekend was a Margaux, and I really enjoyed it. And I was able to apply what I'd previously learned and just enjoyed it from beginning to end.
I think we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time.
That's all right. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.